Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome, everybody. It is Monday, April 18th, and it's the day, the official day, that your tax returns have got to be stamped and in the mail. Hopefully, you've gotten all that done. Again, it seems like this is the season where we are having government involvement, and it only takes this date, and normally the 15th, but the 18th is the day for the filing, and I hope you all got that done. Happy Tax Day, everybody, and welcome to the program. This is David Lincoln with Lincoln on Lending, and we've got another jam-packed program, and we're going to be talking about the mortgage call report and the latest and greatest invention to help us manage the out of control mortgage industry is, I think, what they're trying to do, folks. But we're going to be going into it in great depth. And a lot of you, especially loan officers, are listening to this program are wondering, how does it apply to me? Does it? You'll want to stay tuned because we're going to be speaking specifically to how this could be impacting you as originator. And that's going to have some little, probably put some eyebrows up a little bit. Again, you're listening to Lincoln & Lending. It's a first-of-a-kind radio program produced by mortgage professionals for mortgage professionals to help you stay informed on all that's going on within the industry with relevant information and discussion and dialogue. We try to bring an active dialogue, which is a hot topic segment. We're excited to be having, again, the call report be the topic today. If you're a regular listener, you already know about this, but you can go to www.lickenonlending.com, and you can register for weekly emails. You can get a weekly reminder on the program. You can also contact us. We encourage you to do so. You also can download the broadcast MP3. Many are doing that. You can listen live streaming. There's a new look and feel to the website. If you haven't been over there, I encourage you to go out and do so. So let's get going and talking about interest rates. Starting off at the top of the hour, each and every week, we have Joe Farr with the MBS Quote Line giving us an update. And Joe, there's been quite an interesting day.
Well, it has been. Just start out by reporting that we are up. MBS prices are up about 5/32 over Friday's close. And I was just looking back over the last month. We've really had a nice, or over the last week or two anyway, we've had a nice recovery. We're back to where prices were about a month ago and up about 0.75 from where we were just a week ago. So we've had a really nice week in price movement for the better.
But it has been a crazy day.
Today has been crazy. We had this morning about 9 o'clock, it was reported that S&P had, they didn't downgrade the rating on the U.S. debt, but they downgraded their outlook on U.S. debt from neutral to negative. All right, and that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
But the market reacted, you know, pretty quickly as a big deal. In fact, the market dropped about 9/32 just immediately on the news, and we've since recovered all that. And in fact, we're higher than where we were when the news came out. But both MBS prices and Treasury prices fell on the news, as you might guess they would do. And in fact, the stock market fell as well. MBS and Treasury have recovered the losses, and the stock market has not. The stock market's down over 200 points right now, and at the time this announcement was made, it was down a little bit, down 60, but it has not recovered like the other two markets have.
That is really interesting. You know, downgrading, not downgrading, but what's the word again? They changed their outlook.
Yeah.
Now, what does that specifically mean, Joe?
Well, you're getting beyond my skills there, Dave. But what I understand, what I'm hearing is that the an outlook of negative to S&P means that there's a 1 in 3 chance that they view there's a 1 in 3 chance of default. And
amazing.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And that's about as much as I know about it. But yeah, again, the market has kind of they reacted immediately, and they've kind of I don't know if they've shrugged it off. The other rating agencies have not done anything like what S&P had done, has done. But, you know, it was a bit of a surprise this morning when that came out.
That is a surprise, and that is something that we didn't think we'd anticipate. I think Andy Schell in the pre-call made a great observation. I wonder if this is as much political as it is anything. Last week, let's get into what happened. Last week, it was a good week overall for mortgage rates.
Well, it was, and we reported the week prior to that there was a growing concern about inflation, and you know, we've seen food and energy prices going up, and there's been a worldwide effort to reduce inflationary pressures in both China and in Europe. And so the week prior to last, we saw some negative price movement. Last week, we actually had some inflation measures come out. Both PPI and CPI were announced, and they helped to reduce the concern, I guess. Both of them came in when you extract the food and energy prices, so you're looking at core PPI and core CPI. They're still very low. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, which one do you focus on, core or the headline number? And I heard it best, you know, and the headline number is very volatile as it relates to things like the price of oil. And we don't want to react the wrong way in a month if the price of oil falls back down to, you know, below $100 a barrel and we start seeing a reduction in cost,
right,
and we start seeing, you know, that number go the other way. It's not as meaningful. So people are looking at core CPI as the way to anticipate future inflation, not headline CPI. And those numbers are rising, but fairly slowly. So, you know, the concern is just not there yet at the Fed level, and investors as well, I think, have, you know, pulled back a little bit on their concern factor and wound up are accepting better yield, lower yields on long-term assets. So that's why that's the result of the prices improving last week.
What about this week? It'll be a short one.
It's a short one. Yeah, Thursday we're going to close early, and Friday will be closed all day, at least the bond market in both these cases. We do have some housing data coming out. Existing home sales comes out on Wednesday, and we're expecting a little bit of a pickup in that measure. Housing starts comes out tomorrow. Thursday, jobless claims, Philly Fed, leading indicators, again, none of which are generally headline moving kind of numbers, but you never know when something like this morning will happen. So it's always good to pay attention.
Absolutely. There's just no question that the markets are active, but man, changing the outlook on U.S. debt. Joe, that's the big headliner for the day. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate you bringing the report each and every week. Stay tuned, everybody, because we're going to be talking about the call report, and specifically that we're going to really get into it in a meaty way. We got a lot of information. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Lincoln, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Alice Alvey. I've worked with her for years now. Why go to Allison? But Alice Alvey and her family, as Alice is out in California attending a funeral for a beloved family member. That's tragically, life was taken from them way too early. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to Alice. We'll be covering a lot of, in the hot topic segment, the call report. Fortunately, we already had Andy Schell all teed up, ready to dive into it. And so
if this was a week for it to happen, it was it's never nice to have those kind of things happen, but if ever was a week for it to happen, we're prepared because we've got Andy covering a great deal of what's going on in the legislature, specifically, most specifically, the call report as it relates to our hot topic today. So for those of you that are so inclined, keep Alice, Alvy, and her family lifted up. And in your thoughts, and if so inclined, your prayers. We appreciate Alice being a part of the radio program, which she's missed, and we just extend all our good wishes out there during this difficult time. So we're going to advance right on to the next topic, our next segment, the Prophet Doctor. And this last week, Andy Schell, also known as the Prophet Doctor, was up in Dallas doing some training, but we're going to get into that later again. Covering a lot of that, but Easter's coming. So what is the Prophet Doctor? How is he going to relate Easter goodies to the Prophet Doctor segment? Andy Schell, good to have you on the program.
Hey, Dave. Thank you very much. You know, they say in any kind of a media or presentation that you never want to follow dogs, kids, or bad news. And so following the funeral is like, okay, we all agree for Alice as well. So, but yeah, Easter, you know, most of my life, I grew up in southern climates, and so Easter was always fun, and we'd, you know, hunt eggs and find them. And then I don't know, Dave, you grew up in a northern climate, so you'll relate to this better. But when the mid-'90s, late-'90s, we moved to a northern climate where there was snow on the ground a lot. And all of a sudden, when you try to hide Easter eggs for kids to have an Easter egg hunt, and it's snow on the ground, well, you either do it inside or you wait until spring to find the eggs.
Or you give it away because there's fresh tracks right to the eggs. The kids always thought it was great when they caught trying to hide eggs. I thought you were to go somewhere with that. You can hide eggs in the snow if you want, but there's kind of a dead giveaway. So, all right, so you did some of them inside.
Yeah. Well, anyway, when I was a kid, one of the best things about Easter was eating my mom's goodies. And my mom baked all kinds of fun munchies and, You know, my job was I just show up and eat, and it was awesome because that's all I had to do. And then she had me start helping her, and I had to learn all about the ingredients, and I had to learn about measuring and cutting and stirring and baking. And it's not just baking; it's baking for the right amount of time at the right temperature. And suddenly it was work. It wasn't just show up and eat. It was, you know, you got to fix it too, and that was a little bit more of a challenge. And so it was still fun to eat the goodies. But now it was work, and this is often what business owners think about accounting. They just show up and eat, and they just show up and expect accounting to have all the reports
ready to go
so the owners can get the key information they need about their decision. So, but there's more to it. What about all the measuring and the cutting and the stirring and the baking to get the accounting reports ready to go, and even more, to get the accounting reports ready to go with cool graphs and colors and, you know, red and yellow and green so that you can have understandable KPI information, key performance indicator information. Well, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on to make all this work, and it takes a lot of work, a lot of measuring and baking. So here's the deal, that the measuring and stirring is messy, and it makes your arm hurt. But it's essential for good financial reports. If you want to have good financial reports, your accounting department is going to have to go through a lot of steps and details to get it, right? Well, here's the deal with the call report. The new call report is like the lightning rod to bring all this into focus. And here's why. The reality is it's not possible to prepare the call report without capturing the details of accounting that flow through a mortgage organization. It's actually been possible to generate financial reports without going into the level of detail you're going to have to now do to do the call report. A couple of quick items are that in the call report, we have to track every detail for the disposition of every application from every originator in every office. So that means that application comes in, it's got to be logged, got to be right, and we've got to track closed, denied, withdrawn, on and on. We'll get into more of that a little bit later in the show. But capturing this information is not an option. Same thing with the details of the loan closing transaction. You know, Dave, we've talked many times to business owners who just, I just wait till the investor buys it and see how much I got and I'm good. Well, you can't do that anymore because in that closing transaction, there's interim interest. from the date of loan close to the end of the month that the customer paid at closing. That actually has, that little bitty number has to be segregated out and reported separately on the call report. You have to report interim interest as a separate line. So you can't just kind of wing it and put it all in a big pile and shake it real fast and look at how much money comes out. You've got to track every single dollar that's going in. So, you know, the consequence of not getting the data right, and I was at the, Dave, you mentioned I was at the seminar and spoke to regulators there. The consequence of not getting this information right is you get shut down. But here's the benefit. The benefit of getting the data right is that you're now going to really know your business. You're going to be able to know profit by loan, profit by originator, profit by branch. You're going to have all kinds of good information to make informed decisions about your margins and your and all the elements of your business, and you're not going to get shut down. So there's a silver lining in all of this. So
most importantly, the silver lining is the data that's there, and I can't wait to get into that topic. So what everyone may be dreading may in fact come back and be a real blessing.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it seems to me that it's a fairly easy choice. Just do it right the first time. Put the data in the right place. Do what you need to do. And if you've not been capturing all the data that you're now required to do, understand this is going to be a bit of a change. We all know that this change could mean that you're going to need to get help putting all this stuff together. You might need to get Alice or us at NBS to come in and help get your processes fixed. And you may actually end up having to spend a little bit more money on it, a little bit more money on accounting. But at the end of the day, you'll have a better run company. You'll stay in business. You understand your business better. So, you know, you got to get your accounting department tuned up. You got to start measuring and cutting and stirring and baking at the right temperature, and you'll get great reports, and you'll stay in business, and it'll be good. And that's the profit, Dr. Dave.
Good job. Yeah, you know what? A lot of people are looking at this, and they, if you have an accounting department, that's good. Some smaller companies might feel just a little bit overwhelmed, and we can help them with that. Thank you so much, Profit Doctor, for bringing us this segment. We'll be back, folks. And remember, we're going to be talking about the Mortgage Call Report in greater detail. Coming up next will be Tony Garitano talking about what we can look for involved with some developments in the technology world. You're not going to want to miss that segment. Folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Welcome back, everybody. And each and every week, we have a special guest on with us, Tony Garitano, also known as Mr. Technology. We got the Profit Doctor, now we got Mr. Technology. Everything, the guy that seems to have his finger on the pulse of what is going on out there. And there are significant developments. A couple years ago, actually a little over a year ago, I wrote an article predicting that there are going to be a great deal of consolidation going on within the world of technology, and that certainly is the play that's seeming to be played out or being played out right now. Also, we talked about the need for capital, and there's a significant development regarding Ellie Mae and their IPO. Tony, good to have you on the program, and I would like to ask, get your opinion. What do you think the Ellie Mae IPO will mean as it relates to innovation across the industry?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Dave, and for having me on the program. And it's a good question. I mean, I'm still thinking about it myself. There are certain constraints to being a public company. You have to be beholden to your shareholders. Does that hamper innovation? Does that hamper a company's ability to be agile? I think it does.
It does have impacts, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, on the other hand, it also frees up some money. They were very successful with this IPO on Friday. They priced their shares at $6, and they were up by about 75% on Friday so far. So they're going to be getting some cash, and what are they going to do with that cash? Hopefully good things for the mortgage space and good things for their lender clients. Ellie Mae has always been a pretty proactive company when you talk about the different loan origination systems out there. And I think lenders really need their LOS to be innovative, especially given, you know, the call report stuff that you guys are talking about and a whole lot of other stuff coming down the pike. So I hope it's good news for innovation, and I hope it's good news for Ellie Mae, but I think we'll just have to see.
How would you define innovation in the mortgage technology space today, Tony?
It's really all about compliance today, Dave. I think that...
Wow. That's an understatement, isn't it?
By hook or by crook, right? We've all got to get there. All the companies, technology companies, whether they be loan origination systems, pricing systems, stock companies, even servicing systems, servicers are under the gun as well, Dave. It's really all about compliance and about automating your processes, getting control of your data, knowing more about your business. And that's really what I think being innovative means today. And hopefully I think that will lead to a better mortgage process going forward, because as you get more control over your data and more control over your business, you know, I think that's got to be a good thing.
And control is such a key thing, especially as we get into our hot topic segment. And so it seems like innovation is important, but really, why is it so important? Is it the controls, Tony?
I think that we're in a very competitive market, Dave. I mean, the battle for the borrower is in full swing. It's not just, I don't think it's just about control. I think it's about being competitive. I think it's about proving that there's some value behind what it is that you're offering. And I think that technology and innovation is a way to separate yourself and hopefully give you a leg up and create a better process and a win-win for everybody. So it can keep you in business, and I think it can keep you profitable.
Yeah, no question that it can make a huge difference. And I think, to your point, it is going to be making a difference. If someone succeeds to the degree that they can succeed, they've got to be a technology-enabled, empowered to be able to do what to meet the compliance requirements at a minimum. And there's many other advantages to it. Tony, thank you so much for being a part of the program. For those of you that want to read the update, you can go to www.progressinlending.com. Progress in Lending, all squished together, run together like the internet likes it. .com, and you can get the latest information. I just wrote an article that Tony will be publishing this week that I would encourage you to read. That's going to be posted in your blog. Is that correct, Tony?
Yep, it's posted in the daily blog. You can get it you can actually get it through that website that you mentioned, Dave, through the homepage, and your picture will be there alongside, so people will know it's you and be able to click through pretty quickly.
Well, that's good. I'm going to tease people. I want people to go listen to it. I talk about the next crisis. But in this next crisis, it may have some really interesting positive implications for the loan officers and the companies that survive and make it through this craziness, what we're going through. Thank you so much, Tony, for being a part of the radio program each and every week. Look forward to having you back next week. And then like to have you, when you come back next week, kind of give us a general overall impression of talk about technology vendors and how well they're prepared to support various lenders. Again, not a specific report, but just a general report on how technology is ready to enable their customers, their clients on the call report. Look forward to getting that report next week, Tony. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best and look under the covers and hopefully give you some scoops.
Good. Look forward to having you back next week, Tony. Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be coming up on the call report next, and it's going to impact you loan officers a little bit, maybe a lot. You want to stay tuned for this segment. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
And this is your host, David Lickin. Good to have you with us. And many of you are wondering, does this call report have anything to do with me? And that's just something for the corporate to worry about. Is that right? Well, you're going to want to tune in. Listen, loan officers, let me tell you. If you're a small company, if you're a mortgage broker, you may be a one-man operation. If you're a one-man operation out there, and how many do we have? Thousands of those across the country. At least we have. And I believe there's still a position where those will actually exist and actually prosper, continue to prosper. Go read that article that's being posted on the Progress and Lending website. I'd like your feedback on that. But you, if you have a small company, no matter if it's two, three of you, you need to file a call report. You go, wait a minute, Lickin. You're going to give me some bad news. I'm not a banker. Get it right. And I go, yes, you're not a banker. But as long as you're registered within the state, you have a requirement as a small entity, even if you're a one-man brand, to file a call report. So it's important that you as originator stay tuned all the way through. Also, there's implications of risk back to you. Many companies are going to be asking you, the originator, as they prepare this call report. Most likely well-run companies are going to come back and say, here's all the activity we have for you. Is there anything that we're missing? So it's important, and there's an implied risk back to loan officers. So you may think, well, I'm a loan officer, I don't have to worry about the call report. Well, let's get the Profit Doctor back on the radio program along with our good friend and regular Joe Farr, we're going to discuss this. So Andy Schell, also known as a Profit Doctor, welcome back to the program. Let's get into talking about this. And loan officers, loan originators out there, I'm telling you, pay attention all the way through this thing because you could be implicated if something goes wrong. Pay attention. Andy, bring it to us.
Right. Well, thanks, Dave. Let's go back just a second and just discuss the purpose. Like, why do we even have this? Why is this here? And so it states on the NMLS call report website, it states that the NMLS mortgage call report will provide state mortgage regulators with the data necessary for effective monitoring of their licensees and mortgage activities in their state. So that's what they want to do. They want to be able to – they want the state regulators to be able to monitor the activity within their state conducted in mortgage banking by the people that are licensed within that state. So a side note will also be that the NMLS call report will also provide companies with uniform reporting requirements across state lines. And that actually is a good point, because if you're a mortgage originator operating in multiple states and each state has a different reporting format, and even if they had similar formats but different definitions of what the data needed to be, that could be a disaster. It's going to be difficult anyway for companies who aren't already capturing this much information to get it pulled together. But at least this way, you do the same format for everybody in every state.
So that is significant. That's the purpose. Okay, we got that down. So we got a purpose. Now, who's involved in this?
Well, okay, here you go. Just like you said, Dave, according to the NMLS website, the State Regulatory Register LLC is the name of the group. All state licensed companies, so any state licensed company engaged in mortgage banking, mortgage lending, mortgage activity, and companies employing state licensed mortgage loan originators. So if you're licensed in a state, if your company's licensed in the state as a mortgage originator, or if your company employs state-licensed mortgage loan originators, then you must submit the NMLS mortgage call report on a quarterly basis. So basically, mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, and even likely FDIC banks, to the extent that they're not exempt otherwise. So basically,
do you hear that, brokers? I want to make sure that the brokers and loan officers hear that of all size. It means if you're a one-man company, you're licensed in an entity, and you're operating in a state, what do they have to do, Andy?
They have to submit the call report every quarter.
Every quarter.
All right, let's move on. So let's get into a little bit of the standard report. What's involved in this thing?
Okay, well, think about it this way. There's two reports. There's two versions of the call report. And within the two versions of the call report, there's two sections. So each of the two versions of the call report both have two sections. And one of the sections covers application activity and this general activity. And the other section covers financial activity and financial results. So within two different reports, they both have mortgage activity and financial results in both of them. But the content of that is different depending on which report you're preparing. So let's start with a standard report. So the standard report is the simplest of the two reports. There's the standard report and the expanded report. So the standard report is due from all companies. So all companies are going to prepare the standard report, the standard MLS call report, and they're going to have production data that must be completed every calendar quarter. So for the first quarter of 2011, January through March, that information has to be submitted. And they have to submit information that reflects all the mortgage activity of the company, and it has to be segregated by each state. So this is the mortgage activity section, and they call it the RMLA. If you look at the report, you'll see the letters RMLA, Residential Mortgage Loan Activity Report. And that section is due from everybody, every broker, anybody has to do the RMLA section, depending on whether if it's standard or the expanded report. You've got to do that report every quarter. And it's due 45 days after the end of the quarter, so that means May 15th, the first report's due for all of the activity that took place between January and the end of March.
Now, there's been talk, Andy, about some of the regulatory bodies in some of the states offering some grace and mercy for the first round on these reports. But I tell you, I would assume you better take this very, very seriously and plan to have this done by that time. Joe, I want you to make sure you're on the line, and we want to make sure you jump
here.
In here with any. Yeah, okay, good. I want to make sure we hadn't lost you there.
Well,
make sure you
going back, I wanted to ask, but I just didn't jump in. Where can you get the information on the call report, Andy?
Well, if you Google NMLS mortgage call report, it'll go right to it. It's actually mortgage.
And do they have forms there?
They do. They have example forms of both the standard report and the expanded report. Now, they've committed to release the newest versions of the report by May the 2nd, I believe it is. So if you look right now today, you can get an example, and then the actual report for submission will be released in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah, you shouldn't think about that. They're releasing a new version of the report, so and I think that's one of the reasons they're talking about giving some grace and mercy and extending some flexibility on the filing. But again, you get on this thing, folks. So let's get
Dave, you know what? I got a comment on that one point, Dave. Yeah. I have yet to hear any federal regulator or state regulator say there's going to be any grace and mercy. I've heard lawyers talk about it that there might going to be. But I was just at this TMBA seminar where I spoke earlier this week, and I've never heard a state or federal regulator say, "Oh, don't worry about it this time. We'll cut you a break." Have you actually heard a regulator say that?
No. You know what's interesting? You say that is only the attorneys. I actually did hear one state up in the Northeast say that they will be somewhat flexible on this, but somewhat is a kind of a loose, scary term. It sounds like an invitation for the plaintiff bar. If you miss it, folks just plan on getting this right. And, yes, they're getting the final report out, the version that you're going to have to report on May 2nd. Did we hear you right correctly, Andy?
Right. Yes, on May the 2nd. So the advice that the attorney in Dallas gave on last Monday was stay right down the middle of the fairway, stay right on the sprinkler line was the words he used. Just don't deviate. Get it done. Do it right. Get it incorrectly. Do it right the first time, because you don't want to find out what happens otherwise.
that's a really good point. And by the way, several people shot me too. TMBA. The other parts of the country may not know that.
Oh,
maybe Tennessee may have it. So let's clarify that. That's the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association. Andy Todd. Was it mandatory? What was the? It was an educational seminar. I know that.
No, it was the federal mandate. It was an amazing seminar that the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association pulled together, with several attorneys and industry experts all speaking, and it was all about this topic, the call report, the DOL hour and wage and hour issues, the Federal Reserve loan officer issues, the pending Dodd-Frank, the new Consumer Protection Bureau, lots of great information. And
they fit it all in one day?
Pardon me?
And they fit it all in one day?
They fit it all in one day. They fit it all in one day. And just a real quick rabbit trail on that day, then we'll move on into this. When one of the sessions right after lunch was on the Department of Labor and the LO comp work. And, of course, we've been talking about the Department of Labor issues for years. Well, not years,
yep,
but at least a year. And we've been all over the LO comp rule. So I was actually going to sneak out a little bit because I had some other emails to return. So I actually didn't attend the first 45 minutes of the session because I looked at the attorney's outline, and so I was going to come in at the end. When I got there, he was on the first page. He hadn't gotten.
He never got any further than the first page.
Yeah, he was still on the first page talking about the wage and hour issues because there were so many questions just on wage and hour, and that's been around for a year now. People just haven't been doing it, so these things are complicated, but there's solutions to all of it, and the definition of home office, that's been around for a long time. The stuff's not new, but people are finally paying attention to it and getting a little wrapped around the axle. But you don't need to be because there are solutions to this. There's clear answers to get all this stuff fixed.
Well, let's get on, as you say. Let's get into the expanded section of this thing and kind of really get rolling.
The standard report we haven't covered yet.
Oh yeah,
the really really important section. Well, they're all really important sections.
That's good. But
remember the RMLA. Everybody say that RMLA. The RMLA section, the Residential Mortgage Loan Activity section, is due every quarter within 45 days of the end of the quarter in the standard report. Also in the standard report is the financial condition report. Now, this is the portion of the report that is due only annually. It's the only section of all the areas we're going to talk about that's due annually. So if you qualify for the standard report, you only have to submit the financial condition report annually, and it's due 90 days after the year end, which will coincide with your audit. And the reason it's important that that's done that way is because there's sections of the financial condition report that are very complicated. There's a cash flow section where you take changes in your balance sheet and measure back through cash. It's the class in undergraduate accounting that causes people to become marketing majors. So it's a really complicated aspect to it, and it's good that they've got it done only annually. At least that's how it is now. It might become more regular, but at this point, for the standard report, the financial portion is due annually. So just wanted to be clear about that.
In some cases, there's a quarter in financial reporting. In some cases, if you're filing the standard report, then that is the financial information is only due once a year at the end of the year or 90 days after the end of the year, right?
That's right. That's right. So remember, there's two types of reports, expanded and standard. And within each of those two reports are two sections, the activity and the financial. For the standard report, the activity is due quarterly. The financial is due annually. For the expanded report, which is what we're going to talk about now, it's all due quarterly, and it's big. It's way more information that you've got to submit. So who qualifies for the expanded report? Who has to prepare this? Well, anybody who's Fannie Freddie Ginnie seller servicer. So if you're a Fannie Freddie seller servicer or a Ginnie Mae issuer, you have to prepare the expanded report. And the expanded report is complicated. It's got a lot of information that you have to do every quarter to report the mortgage loan activity section, the RMLA section.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's due quarterly, and the financial information is likewise due quarterly. But if you're doing the expanded section, then you don't also have to do the financial section of the standard report because the expanded report replaces the information you would have submitted on the standard report.
You know, Joe, as I'm sitting and listening to Andy talk here, a lot of people go, I want to go direct. I want to be Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac report. Ginnie Mae, I want to do my own issues. Joe, it sounds like there may be some consequences, unintended consequences, if you move that direction. And so you got to carefully weigh that out. It's a little more complicated.
Well, you know, like the company,
yeah, it does,
where Joe,
Dave.
Like the company where Joe used to, where Joe was CFO.
Yeah, Joe was the CFO. Yeah.
If you're a Fannie, Freddie, Ginnie seller, servicer, issuer, then you're already having to submit to the agencies a form called an MBFRF. and it stands for Mortgage Banker Financial Report Form. Mortgage Banker Financial Report Form, and it's the report that you have to submit to the agencies if you're a Fannie, Freddie, seller servicer, Ginnie Mae issuer. So a lot of the information in the MBFRF is also included in the call report. Also, a lot of information off the HMDA report is included in the call report. So it's not like completely rebuilding the foundation, because there's already going to be some level of reporting that you've had to do so far, but it's going to be more, including the cash flow analysis that has to be done. So it's bigger. It's bigger. It's important for people to understand that there's something new. There's a new sheriff in town, and they want it every 45 days after the calendar quarter. So pay attention and move forward with this.
You know what? It sounds like – and is this going to be regulated at the state level? I know we have the National Mortgage Licensing System. But is this a state report, federal report? Kind of clarify a little bit on, you know.
Well, that's a great question, Dave, and this is where some of the confusion happens, because the report is submitted nationally to the NMLS.
Yeah.
They then distribute the information down to the states. So you're actually – officially regulated by the state for this, except as it relates to the SAFE Act licensing. But in terms of mortgage lending, it's state. Well, aside from, you know, all of the national things like RESPA and whatever, but it's state regulators that will be receiving this information. They'll be receiving it in a standardized format now, so you don't have to submit a bunch of different versions. But it ultimately is going to go through the NMLS system down to the states, and this is where it gets complicated. The definitions of the various line items in the report for either the call report and the report that you have to submit to Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie, or the HMDA report, they've tried to use the same definitions. They say to the greatest extent possible, but there's places where they're not the same. So you may have one field that means one thing on their HMDA that means something else under MBFRF that means something else under NMLS call report. So aside from memorizing all the acronyms, you also got to make sure the details are right.
Yeah. Joe, what's your thoughts on all this as you're listening to this?
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds complicated, and it sounds, another reporting requirement. But as was mentioned early on, there's got to be some good gain from having that knowledge on a periodic basis, a quarterly basis, and being able to use that information to better manage your companies if you don't already have it. I did want to kind of follow up again on the impact on the individual. Dave, you explained that there's a need to know at the individual level, and if this is something that's filed by the company, how does an LO know what's in there, and how does an LO know that what's in there is right, and that if it's not right, how to get it changed? Have you heard what companies are planning to do in that regard?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Joe, because I think the accountability back to the loan officers. Let me put it this way. The plaintiff bar is going to be – plaintiff bar, everyone's wondering, what's the plaintiff bar? I've never heard of plaintiff bar, Dave. Well, that's the group of attorneys. That's the part of the legal industry out there, folks, that preys on, like a pack of wolves, on the herd. And we're the herd. The mortgage industry is the herd. And they're looking for ways in which they can bring class action litigation against a company. And you say, well, I'm too small for them to worry about. Well, we do legal expert witness work as a part of our consulting practice, and they go for the little guy to get to the big guy. So if you originate a loan, you may be involved in a lawsuit, and it goes all the way down to the loan officer. To answer your question, Joe, a loan officer has got to keep track of this information, what loans they're doing. While they technically may not be required, unless they own their own company and they're a one-man band, they may not technically be required to turn in a call report. It is important that they understand that information and understand what's going into it to make sure that the company has their accurate information on what they actually did. Because, Joe, the loan officers will be implicated in a lawsuit when these things happen, typically all the way through the channel.
Can you give us kind of an explanation or a description of how that might happen? What could be in the report that maybe would be misleading and potentially detrimental to the LO himself?
Well, number one is I have been in the industry for 37 years, and having been the subject of several class action lawsuits, it's not uncommon for them to go in and name the loan originator, the loan processor in these lawsuits. And knowing that they just want to get everyone's attention, be able to do what they can to implicate as many involved in the process. The more involved in the process, the more the stories can change, and they think they have a better chance. So number one is when a lawsuit happens, because of loan officer licensing, because of loan officer registration with the states, there's a much what we're hearing from the plaintiff bar, the attorneys that are on this, and the companies that are on this, that they're most likely, it's not, don't be surprised if you're a loan officer, even a loan processor, and your name personally in a lawsuit. And there's nothing more that'll ruin a weekend than you get your filing, you get handed by someone at your front door at your home, because it gets served to you at your home, Joe. And you get served with the papers that says you are being sued. It just can absolutely ruin a weekend, ruin a week, a month, and everything else. So just it's so important. We bring that up because I think there's going to be just an awful lot of lawsuits. You go, hey, man, this is getting crazy in the business. Do I even want to be in this business when it's like that? You know what? Yes, you do. You go read that article that blog I just posted and get into it. I don't want to get off that. Here's the other thing. You asked another question, Joe, that's very important. What are companies doing about this? Companies that are managing this well have good systems, but these systems are going to generate reports, and Andy, I'd love to get your feedback on this, is they're generating reports and they're giving it to the LOs, say, LO, mortgage originator, does this report represent all your activity? Most guys will look at that and goes, yeah, it looks like it. Well, there's this time, there's more accountability to you personally. You need to sign off on the accuracy of that. How are you going to do that? The only way you're going to do that is if you keep your own records about what's going on. You can depend on the system. It's good. But there's a number of loan originators that I'm talking to that are saying, I'm going to keep my own system on an old green bar paper sheet going back to manual. And I'm going to make sure every loan I do is going to have all this information in it. And I'm going to track it to make sure that we're fine. So that if anything goes wrong, it's going to be focused on the company. So, Joe, those are a couple of quick answers. We're going to be getting into that more each week as we go through, continue to discuss this. Encourage those loan originators out there to stay tuned and listen all the way through all this series of broadcasts. We're going to be covering this, folks, for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be back after this brief break, and we're going to talk more about this, and you're not going to want to miss what's coming up next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower. From a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges, PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Licken with Licken on Lending, and we're talking about the mortgage loan call report. Joe, I want to make sure that I answered your question specifically to that, and if there's any more color that's needed on that or any more comment that I didn't cover quite to your extent.
Well, let me ask if this would be a circumstance that could pop up. That could be a detriment to the loan originator if it didn't get picked up. For instance, if you have done what it takes to have taken an application but never progressed on the loan, it would seem like that application would have to be registered in some way and dispensed with in some way. And if it were not and it were excluded, it could be considered a problem.
Exactly.
It could be. Go ahead, Andy.
Because what they're going to do in the report is you're going to have to report every application taken, and then if it's in process, so for everything that was received, if it's in process, if it's been approved but not accepted, if it was denied, withdrawn, closed, incomplete, or originated, everything has to add up. So if there's an application in, it has to have a disposition, and they're going to check to make certain all those numbers work in both units and volume.
Which is probably why there you're going to see the companies that are well-managed are going to be shooting back these reports back to the LOs before they file these to make sure that the information is accurate and that they've captured all the loan activity, which goes back to there is a level of accountability, an increased level of accountability that has material consequences. Again, you want that knock on the door on a Friday night getting served papers that, quote-unquote, you've been sued. That's how you avoid this, keeping good records. Andy, let's continue on. Pardon?
Yeah, just do it right the first time.
Measure twice, cut once. Well, I heard that. There's another Texan that used that expression once.
Exactly. Well, at the conference in Dallas, one of the lawyers there was saying that they've gotten calls from their clients where they believe that they're being phished, where a lawyer is talking to originators, talking to processors, asking them questions about their process, trying to find violations so that they can then name them in a class action. So that
you know what, I want to stress this to our listeners, because this is something, folks, that is going on that may not have ever happened, and it may come across as an innocent phone call about this. Andy, cover this, because you're the attorney at the seminar that you spoke at was very adamant about this. So cover this in very specific detail, listeners. Especially anyone working for a mortgage company, listen to this.
Well, if you get a phone call that sounds suspicious, that someone sounds like they're trying to ask questions, and they may be talking to a processor, they may be talking to an originator, it may seem completely innocent, and it's actually could be difficult to identify. But if someone's asking a lot of probing questions about your process, about how you capture application information, do any applications ever get taken and not really processed, just get put in the drawer, you know, to anything like this, then the attorney recommended that you call the bar. If you find out, if you can get the information about who it is, you can call them back and tell them all about it, then report them to the bar, because it's you're not allowed to do that, apparently.
I'm almost getting some expletives texted to me, Andy, where people are saying, this is crazy. This is just getting nuts, and you can just feel the frustration as we're talking about this. And, Joe, you said, think about it, what the accountability that comes up. But the reality is many are not going to be able to handle this. Many are not going to be able to do this. If you double down in your efforts, the fact is that you may be one of the ones that can handle it and surviving, and that means that much more business for you.
Well, I don't have permission from the attorney to give his name out, but if anyone is interested in hearing more details about this specific issue, shoot me an email, and I'll give you his name and contact information.
Well, let's make sure they have your email then, Andy. What is your email?
Oh, Aschell, A-S-C-H-E-L-L, @mbs-team.com.
We've got six months remaining on the broadcast. I was going to say, Joe, please, let's kind of get into a little bit of a discussion about this. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out if you're in multi-state, more than one state, and you have to do the report. I can kind of see how the activity would be by the branch, maybe in whichever state the branch is in. But what about the financials? Do they have to be broken down for activity in the state, or do you send the
Great
same
question.
Corporate financials to every state?
Yeah, it's my understanding that the you're gonna because it's all one legal entity, so the refinancers are going to be at the entity level. If you've got separate subsidiaries in different states and you'd report at the subsidiary level, whichever entity is licensed by the state. But for the most part, if you've got one entity that's operating in multiple states, you're going to submit activity based on each state, but financials based on the aggregate.
Andy, okay. I just got a great text question on this. It just came in. It says, okay, I'm a net branch operation. I technically get financials on my net branch operation. Do I have to do that on a net branch basis? It's still the entity, not the net branch. Correct, Andy?
It's my understanding it's the entity. Financial reporting is done at the corporate level.
At the corporate level. So, you know, the answer to that question is no, you are not going to be required to publish the financials on your branch. So I think
that's good. Well, let's hit just a couple of details real quick before we run out of time. I just want to make certain people understand that in this activity report, I just mentioned the things about the application disposition, how everything has to be tracked. In this quarterly report that everybody has to do, the standard version is you have to report for every loan that's closed, you have to report the loan type, the loan purpose, the property type, the lien position.
Whoa,
you've got to be able to
go through that a little slower. Cover that a little slower. You got to report what?
Well, loan type, loan purpose, property type, and lien position.
And lien position, okay.
Yeah, and then by retail or wholesale with amount and count. And then for every originator, you have to report their NMLS ID with their name and volume. And then on the financial section, it's
–
oh, sorry if I'm going too fast.
Go ahead. No, keep going.
On the financial section, you've got to report balance sheet information. So you've got to be able to know all of the loans held for sale, all of your warehouse line borrowings from any lender. You also have to report the interest expense from your loans held for sale, and you have to report income from loans held for sale, your interest expense for warehouse line fundings. So you can't aggregate stuff up like we've been doing, like some folks have been doing. You've got to separate this stuff out. You got to track all origination fees separate. You've got to be able to – this is the tricky one. This one is going to make it so the government's going to be able to know what our average compensation per originator is, because we have to tell them for every originator how much volume there was. We also have to tell them on the financial report that goes in, we have to tell them salary by sales staff, salaries or earnings, compensation by sales, salary by non-sales, salary for secondary people, post-closing, and origination management. All those line items have to be separate on the financial report. Normally in a P&L, you may see compensation expense all lumped together. It has to be broken out into these sections for sales, non-sales, secondary, post-closing, and origination management. And that's on the standard report. If you're not capturing that data in that detail today, when you get to the end of the year, you're going to have to go back and redo the whole thing, because you've got to be able to break it out into this much detail, including outsourcing fees, professional fees, subservicing fees. It just goes on and on. You really need to have a review. Sorry?
Which is why we're going to be continuing this discussion on the call report. And again, for those of you who say, well, I don't have a warehouse line, you're going to be leaving those sections blank. We're going to be talking about that in much greater detail. Alice Alvey will be back next week. Send your questions in to us. And you can email them to all three of us. Andy Shell, he already gave his email address. You can send them to me. Or you can send them also off to Joe Farr. And that is, Joe, what's your email address?
joe.farr@mbsquoteline.com.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being a part of it. Again, keep your Alice Alvey and her family in your thoughts and prayers this week, as they are there going through a difficult time with the loss of a family. She will be back next week, and we look forward to having you be a part of the broadcast next week. Again, continuing to talk about LOCOM. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Shell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.